Welcome to The Weekly Transit, a podcast exploring the intersection of Western astrology and Jungian psychology. Astrology is a language that communicates how the planets and stars influence life on Earth, while psychology helps us navigate both conscious and unconscious experiences. Together, these tools offer the potential for self-understanding, growth, and transformation. Join astrologer Scott Tajarian and me, psychotherapist Gabriella D'Urso, as we dive into the cosmic forecast each week.
Welcome to the Weekly Transit. This week is the week of January 22nd to the 28th. And this week we are highlighting 11 transits. It's a very busy week, highlighted by Venus transiting into Capricorn and the full moon in Leo.
Let's do it.
Okay. So the first transit we're going to talk about this week is, well, you know, before we get started, I'm just curious. I just want to put a question out there for our audience first, because I'm curious to know, now that last week the Sun and Pluto transited into Aquarius, are you feeling a shift? Are you feeling a shift in the energy? And if so, what is the shift that you're feeling? I'm curious to know. So hit us back in the comments if you're listening in on YouTube, or if you're on another platform, you can reach out on Instagram to either of us, or you can drop a comment in Spotify.
Mm-hmm. And thanks to everyone who's writing us on YouTube.
Yes.
We have some really just sweet shares happening on there, and we're doing our best to respond to everybody, and
totally
really love hearing about how this is all showing up for you on a personal level.
Absolutely. It feels like we're building relationships.
We're building a community.
Yes, which is very Pluto in Aquarius is the community, transformation of the community. So thank you for being a part of the Weekly Transit community with Gabriella and I. Our first transit for the week that we're going to be discussing is Venus in Capricorn. Venus is the goddess of love and beauty, the planet of relationships. It begins transit in the cardinal earth sign, symbolized by the goat and ruled by Saturn, the planet of restriction. Venus's transit through Capricorn lasts from Tuesday, January 23rd, until February 16th. So Venus is transiting through Capricorn, the goddess of love and beauty, in the sign of responsibility, achievement, authority, career, ambitions, time. So a simple way to look at this transit is, who am I in relationship with? How much time am I spending with them? Or how much time am I spending with the various people in my life? Like, if you have a wife or a husband or a partner, a lover, how much time do you spend with them? How much are you working on that relationship? Who do you want to spend more time with in your life? Who do you want to spend less time with in your life? What are your goals and ambitions in your relationships, whether it be a personal relationship or a professional relationship? What are you working to achieve? What is your, what are you responsible for in your relationship? And what do you need to hold your partner accountable for? So during this period from January 23rd to February 16th, we want to ascend. We want to grow in our relationships, and we want to work towards achieving whatever you're setting out to accomplish in your relationships.
So setting goals and putting steps in place to reach the goals.
Yes.
So it also sounds like there's a part of, it's like a filtering process in a way that's taking place with relationships.
Yes.
I think of the Capricorn energy. I think of high quality, sort of high expectations.
Love that.
So there might be maybe some contrast that shows up in relationships.
What do you mean by that contrast?
By contrast, I mean maybe you had high expectations or thought that a particular relationship had a certain kind of quality to it, that it was high quality, or maybe that it wasn't,
mm-hmm.
and that there might be a reconciling process as you're sort of filtering which relationships are worth the work and which aren't.
Right, right. I love that you bring up, when you think of Capricorn, is like high quality.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I'm doing a reading for somebody who was born with Venus in Capricorn, and I'm curious to know if there's any listeners out there who were born with Venus in Capricorn, and does what we're sharing resonate with you? But when I'm thinking of Venus in Capricorn, I think of somebody who, when it comes to relationships, they want whoever they're in relationship with, whether it's a lover, a friend, or a business partner, to be somebody who is somewhat accomplished, or at the very least, is working towards accomplishing something.
Mm-hmm.
They're driven.
Yes.
They're ambitious.
Mm-hmm.
They want to achieve something. They want to do more with their lives and wherever they are right now in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
They're striving for something greater.
Yeah, and usually that's because they want to, that one part of the relationship wants to grow too, and wants a partner who can grow, you know, individually and together. Usually when people are driven in one area of their life, they sort of have that orientation towards being driven in other areas too.
Yes.
Yeah, I think about the image, which we talk about all the time with Capricorn, is climbing the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you want to climb the mountain with?
Yes, love that.
I think about, you know, going on a hike. I mean, I'm not a natural hiker. Even though my Mars is in Capricorn, I find hiking to be one of the most challenging experiences. I mean, difficult hiking that there can be. So who do I want to hike with? Like, who do you want to do the work with? Because there will be peaks and valleys.
When I lived closer to the hills in Hollywood, I used to love going for hikes. And one of my favorite things to do, aside from hiking by myself, would be going with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are, so I used to live in Beechwood Canyon, and Beechwood Canyon is at the bottom of the Hollywood sign. And so I would walk from my little guest house where I used to live far down on Beechwood Avenue, and I'd walk from there all the way up Beechwood to the top above the Hollywood sign. And it's about, you know, a 2-hour hike, at least round trip. So if you're going on that hike with somebody, you're stuck with that person for 2 hours.
Yeah.
So
there's a level of commitment.
Yes. You know, and it's a minor commitment because it's just a 2-hour hike. And if it's awful, whatever, it's over in 2 hours. I can't think of any awful hikes that I've been on. But
the point is, like, it is a commitment of some sort.
Yes.
Whether it's, I mean, there's a difference between 2 minutes and 2 hours.
Exactly. You're stuck with that person for 2 hours. So you better enjoy each other's company, and whatever conversation you're having, that's an important aspect to the hike. So I think of those hikes is like a metaphor for who are you climbing the mountain to success with in life, whether it's a lover, a friend, or a business partner. Your close personal relationships are with individuals who are with you along the climb of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So do you feel supported by them? Are you supporting them on their climb through life?
Mm-hmm.
Are you encouraging them? Are they encouraging you? What are you holding yourself accountable for? Like, what is expected from you on the hike with the friend, the hike through life? What is your partner expecting from you? What are you expecting from them? And are both of you holding up both ends of the bargain that you've made with each other?
Yeah. Are you both carrying your weight?
Yes.
Or is one person carrying the pack and the other person's picking wildflowers? I don't know.
Yeah. But you know, that could be a fair trade if, like,
yeah, if you take turns, maybe exactly. Maybe that's an agreement,
or maybe it's just that, you know, one person is stronger, so they're going to carry the pack, and the other person has an eye for beauty. And what they're bringing to the equation, you know, is something different. Mm-hmm. It's like when I think of equal isn't the same.
Right.
It's not like I'm going to give you $5. So that means you have to give me $5. That's not what equal is to me.
Mm-hmm.
Equal is I'm giving you $5 and you're giving me something in return that I see a value of $5 that's worth $5 to me.
Mm-hmm.
So you're totally. Giving me something different than I'm giving you. But it feels fair.
Right.
So if it might feel fair that one person is carrying the pack and the other person is picking flowers, that mm-hmm. might feel fair to the two people involved.
That's a good point. I think Venus energy is often connecting us with our understanding of equality. Because Venus is one of the rulers of Libra.
Mm-hmm.
Libra cares about balance mm-hmm. and equality.
Yes.
So wherever your Venus placement is, in some way, is going to help you understand what your sense of equality is.
And so that's a great point.
And that might be different person to person.
Exactly. That's a great point, because Venus is the planet of the senses, the five physical senses. If you look at the symbol for Venus, it's a circle of spirit on top of a cross of matter, signifying your eternal soul in the world of matter and what it senses, the five physical senses: sight, sound, smell, taste, touch. So your senses, your likes and dislikes are different but complementary to mine.
Mm-hmm.
And that works. So if somebody was born with Venus in Sagittarius, which is freedom, exploration, adventure, and somebody else was born with Venus in Aquarius, which is about independence, but can bring, like, so independence works with freedom,
mm-hmm.
but Aquarius, Venus in Aquarius gives more of that accountability, responsibility. It's fixed, so it can kind of help contain the fire of Sagittarius, while the fire of Sagittarius raises the energy of the air of Aquarius. That's just an example of how two Venuses might work well together.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's obviously more complex when you bring in the other planets and signs and so forth. But the point is that in good partnership, you have two people that have a nice balance between what they share in common in terms of the five physical senses and what they differ. Where what we share in common is what brings us together. It's why we like each other. But you also have some qualities about your sensory perception that I lack, that I need. And I have some qualities about my sensory perception that you lack, that you need. And so together, when we come together, we create this stronger force where we have, it's like that diagram where you see two circles that are overlapping each other.
A
Venn diagram. Yeah, exactly. That's, you know, and if you took two Venus symbols and you put them together like that, it would look like a Venn diagram, like two, right? So that is essentially what a positive relationship looks like, is where you have two people that are coming from different perspectives, but similar enough to relate to one another and are filling in the gaps that they're missing on their own.
Yeah, beautiful.
Okay, so that's the work with Venus in Capricorn, is doing the work to discern if you're spending time with the right people. And the reason why I keep using the phrase spending time is because Capricorn is ruled by the god of wealth and time, Saturn.
And time is a currency.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's not infinite. There's only so much of it.
Mm-hmm.
So who do you want to spend your time with on the hike through life? And what are you working towards?
Yeah.
What would you like to achieve in your relationships by February 16th? And so for those of you who are born with key astrological points or planets in Aries or Libra, this could be a challenging period for you whenever Venus is transiting in a square with whatever planets or key points you have in Aries or Libra, because Aries is cardinal fire, Libra is cardinal air, Capricorn is cardinal earth. They're all cardinal. They make a strong aspect to one another, but fire scorches earth, earth extinguishes fire, and air and earth don't mix. So that's where the challenge comes in. So if you were born with, let's say, Mars in Libra, sometime during this period from January 23rd to February 16th, you may be experiencing a conflict in your relationships. If you were born with Mars in Aries, you may also be experiencing a conflict in your relationships during this period. If you were born between 1972 and 1983, you were born with Pluto, the god of death, the planet of transformation in Libra, which means that everybody who was born between 1972 to 1983 is going to go through some experience of death and rebirth with regards to their senses, their likes and dislikes, and their relationship energy. So the last time that Venus transited through Capricorn was December 9th, 2022 to January 2nd, 2023. And the time before that was November 5th, 2021 to March 5th, 2022. So that was an extended period that Venus was in Capricorn, 4 months back, the end of 2021 and early 2022, because that's when Venus was retrograde in Capricorn. So think back to those dates again, December 9th, 2022 to January 2nd, 2023, and November 5th, 2021 to March 5th, 2022. What was going on in your relationships during those dates? That may give you a clue on what could be in store for you this time around when Venus is transiting through Capricorn, January 23rd to February 16th. And if you're curious to know how this transit is going to be affecting you directly, I encourage you to contact me for a reading at theweeklytransit.com.
And hopefully when these patterns are cycling through, one way that you can know that that's happening for you is when you have that feeling of deja vu. I think deja vu is such a cool experience.
Tell me.
It's like there's just so much to me that feeling of deja vu is such an invitation into inquiry with yourself around the familiar. What is coming up that is familiar about this dynamic, this situation, and does it feel good or not? And if the answer is no, that it doesn't feel good, how can you show up to that differently? And really using that experience of deja vu to like stop, take a pause, and reflect.
And what are you reflecting on?
I think it's an opportunity to reflect on your part.
What does that mean?
Well, your part with Venus and Capricorn, like your part of the relationship.
What you need to hold yourself accountable for.
The part that you can control, which is only ever yourself. And maybe control's not even the right word, because that's...
Because how much control do you really have? But actually, when you're talking about Capricorn, it is the right word, because that's maybe the most controlling sign. Because Saturn, it's ruled by Saturn, the god of wealth and time. And if there's ever a god that thinks they have control, it's the god of wealth and time.
Maybe a better word is containment.
That's also kind versus, of a Saturnian word as well.
Yeah, versus control.
But it's also responsibility.
It's responsibility.
Which is Saturn as well. It's not necessarily control, but what are you responsible for?
Yeah, and why is this material showing up for you in this moment? How is it reflecting what's going on for you in your inner landscape? And what do you want to do about it? Which part of what's coming up are you really willing to do the work to uncover, or do the work to understand? And how do you want to move forward?
Love it.
Yeah, I think deja vu is a little bit like, you know, we talked last week about, or we've mentioned this a couple times, but that Uranus energy, or the value of doing dream work, is when you allow sort of that element of surprise to come in. And I think deja vu has that similar quality. Like it has kind of a penetrative quality to me. It's more of like a yang energy. Like it kind of comes up and there's something confronting about it. And rather than pushing that down or sweeping that aside, I think we're being called into working with more of the yin energy, more of like the introverted space. And to me, that's what deja vu indicates.
Something's coming up within you that you need to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. So when you're giving these older dates, like from the past, mm-hmm. from like a year ago, it's kind of abstract. Like for me, I'm like December 2021. I have no idea.
Go back and look at your emails, your text messages, your photos in your phone.
Mm-hmm.
That's always going to be, I mean, if you're not somebody that already keeps a diary or a journal or whatever, you know, we sort of, by default, our society now keeps a visual journal with social media and just all the photos that we're taking with our phone. Mm-hmm. Like we didn't always carry a camera around and take photos of random stuff. You would only pull out the photo if it's like, okay, we're going to pose for a photo now. But now we have this photo, this camera in our pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So you're constantly taking photos.
Yeah.
So we're documenting our lives.
We are. I think it's just interesting that you continue to bring that in.
Mm-hmm.
It's just about an awareness of the fact that we live in cycles.
Yes.
And that even though the cycle might feel the same, you have the agency to show up to it differently.
Mm. Yes.
You can go on the same hike, but have a totally different experience.
Mm.
If you want to.
Right.
If you're ready to.
Yes.
If you're accepting the invitation to experience it differently, then that can be the reality.
Hmm.
Or you can have the same experience again, which maybe there's value in that too. Sometimes we have to learn the same lesson multiple times for us to really integrate it. And there's no problem with that either.
I think that's why we experience these cycles is mm-hmm. because you're not going to learn it on the first try.
Yeah, well, it's just like trying to learn astrology. You know, what's great about you as a teacher is that you say the same things the same way because repetition is how we learn. That's how we learned as children.
Exactly.
Is you say the alphabet over and over mm-hmm. and over again.
Yes.
So when these patterns come up again, yeah, maybe you don't feel deja vu the first couple of times because you need the repetition to learn it a few times. And then eventually you get to that point where maybe you're ready to break the cycle. You have that experience of deja vu and you can pause and maybe do things differently.
Mm.
But it really depends on, I think, just where you are in your development.
Yes.
Yeah.
The second transit of the week involves another planet transiting through Capricorn. So there's three planets transiting through Capricorn now with Venus, Mars, and Mercury. This transit is Mars, the god of war, the planet of action, aggression, and conflict, forming a square, which is a stressful aspect, to Chiron, the wound, and the ancient wisdom that is unlocked through healing that wound, in the cardinal fire sign symbolized by the ram and ruled by Mars, Aries. So Mars is transiting through Capricorn, the sign where it is exalted, and it's aligning with Chiron and Aries, the sign that it rules. So even though there's tension here between cardinal earth and cardinal fire, remembering we said that Venus transiting through Capricorn is going to bring up challenges for those that have key points or planets in Aries, as is Mars. But this is really, you know, adversity brings opportunity.
Hmm.
And so though this transit and a few other transits this week may create adversity in your life, they're also bringing an opportunity to you. So this transit is occurring from Monday, January 22nd to Friday, January 26th. It makes an exact square on Thursday, January 25th, which is the same day as the full moon in Leo. So everything is kind of, we begin the week with this shift in energy with Venus in Capricorn, but there's a lot of other transits occurring concurrently that are sort of building to this culmination that coincides with the full moon in Leo. And so this transit with Mars in Capricorn squaring Chiron in Aries is saying, you're on the mountain. You've set your course. We can look back to the new moon in Capricorn on January 11th as like a starting point, but maybe it started even before then for you, where you've set your goals. You're like, this is what I want to achieve in 2024, in my life, this month, whatever it is. It can be big, small, long, short, doesn't matter. The point is that you're meant to be climbing towards something right now. And in order to climb towards something, you need to face your fears. And so I refer back to a post that I did on the website, theweeklytransit.com, around the new moon in Capricorn. I shared a video that I found on YouTube about these goats that literally climb up the face of a dam in Russia to lick the salt that's at the top of the dam. That they need, it has a very significant or special mineral in this salt that they need in order to in order to have the dexterity to climb the dam. That's kind of the irony. So, but it's a really beautiful video. I encourage you to go to my website and check out that blog post if you haven't seen it already and just watch the video. But if you're afraid of heights, I mean, it'll make your palms sweat because these goats are literally climbing up a sheer face dam. And they're doing it very agile, you know, great agility.
They do have a lot of agility, but I've also seen them slip and fall a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And they just keep going.
They keep going. They
like
keep
it going. Doesn't deter them at all.
Exactly. So
just remarkable.
We all have fear. Fear is a natural part of being a human being. Fear is a natural part of life. The question is, do you have the courage to face your fears? So if you're climbing up the mountain and you've fallen, you might be afraid to get back on the path and keep climbing again. But do you have the courage to take those steps anyway? Like I always think about, whenever I think about Capricorn and goats, I always think of Tiger Woods.
That's a strange transition. Can you explain that?
Well, first of all, he is a Capricorn.
Okay.
And second of all, many consider him to be a goat, like the greatest of all time, the acronym in terms of golf. And he is such a shining example of his astrology. And I love bringing up these public figures because from the time he was a child, he was working. He was on TV, hitting golf balls when he was like 5, 6, 7 years old. His whole childhood was working to be this great golfer. And so he was climbing the mountain like the goat. And he reached the pinnacle many times, from this mountaintop to that mountaintop and so on and so forth. And then he unceremoniously fell off the mountain.
With his scandal?
His scandals.
Yeah.
Yes, all the infidelities that occurred, and then all the pharmaceutical drugs that he was taking to combat whatever was going on in him mentally, emotionally, but also physically with his body. And he was broken physically and in the public eye. I mean, when those scandals came out, he lost maybe hundreds of millions of dollars worth of sponsorships.
Yeah, like that's
a big fall off the side of the mountain to lose tens or hundreds of millions of dollars. And so I can imagine him being the goat that's fallen off the side of the mountain and looking back up there and saying, there's no way I'm ever going to get there again. I give up. I'm done. But being the goat that he is, he didn't know what else to do other than to
start again.
Exactly. Dust himself off and start climbing again. And he reached the pinnacle again. He won the Masters in his 40s, like the oldest person to ever win the Masters, which is reaching a new pinnacle. The interesting thing was when you look at his chart and what was happening during that golf tournament, Jupiter, the planet of luck and expansion, was at the same degree as his IC, directly opposite his midheaven, which is the highest point in the sky when you were born, which is the point that is signified by the goat, by Capricorn, the 10th house. So if he had succumbed to his fears and the embarrassment of the scandal and essentially ruining his life, if he had succumbed to those fears and not just gotten back up and kept working, that transit would have happened and it would have just been another day. But because he kept working and working and working, when the transit happened, he just happened to be at the Masters doing the unthinkable and winning again, achieving again. So I just share this story to encourage anyone who's listening out there that no matter what you are afraid of in terms of what you're climbing towards, you're on the path to develop your courage and develop the courage necessary to achieve your goals.
Mm-hmm. And fear is not a reason not to do something. I think that's a misconception.
Right.
Like we think to ourselves, I can't do it yet because I'm afraid. And okay, maybe there is like some merit in that and some value in that, in like examining the fear or like being in relationship with the fear in some way. Like what is it teaching you, et cetera, et cetera. But at some point, like to your point, there will always be fear because it's a frequency on the planet and will always be here to some extent. But it's about, I think, transmuting that fear, using that fear as fuel.
Yes.
It's interesting, this Tiger Woods example, because the game of golf itself, I think, is very Capricorn. Like all of the steps involved. And it's sort of the long play.
Yeah.
Kind of like Capricorn.
Totally.
Kind of like going on a hike.
Yes. A lot of walking.
A lot of climbing, a lot of steps.
Yeah. They go up and down from the hill, peaks and valleys of the golf course.
Yeah. And there are these sort of touch points that sort of feel like goals. Yes. Right? Like you've made it this far.
Totally. Each hole is like a new peak or minor peak to the overall course.
Yeah. So it's just interesting. I know like some people love golf and some, you know, find it really slow and it's like not that interesting to watch. So it's just it's curious to consider, you know, you can make anything about astrology.
Can I give you another example?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is like when you're climbing up a mountain, like say you're climbing Mount Everest, you have a Sherpa with you. And that's like what the caddy is for golf.
Yeah, totally. Like
they're carrying your bag. They're, you know, they're assessing, you know, which club you need to use and, you know, how the wind is. And they're advising you on your journey. It's like there's no golfer that's golfing by themselves.
Yeah.
They're doing it with a caddy.
Mm-hmm. So how many of them have Venus in Capricorn or Mars or the sun?
Yes. It's so interesting to think about, you know, and also it's like when you're thinking of hiking, like if you play golf with somebody, you're stuck with them for like three, four hours.
You are.
You know? So you better enjoy their company on the road ahead. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So interesting.
Yes. So moving on to the third transit of the week is similar to the last transit because we were talking about Mars in Capricorn squaring Chiron in Aries. The third transit is Mercury, the messenger of the gods, guide of souls to the underworld, the planet of consciousness, communication, and coordination, transiting through Capricorn and also squaring Chiron in Aries. This happens sort of concurrently, a little bit after Mars connects with Chiron. This is happening from Wednesday, January 24th to Saturday, January 27th, forming an exact square on Friday, January 26th. So this is facing your mental fears. What are the doubts that you have? What are the insecurities that you have in your mind that are telling you, I can't do that, I'm not good enough? That's this Mercury squaring Chiron. is when you can face your fears in your mind and your insecurities and you recognize them, it's like you're stepping into your power as an authority.
Hmm.
It's like, yes, this is a fear, but I'm willing to move towards it. I have the courage to move towards it, to speak that I really want this. And maybe that's why Mars in Capricorn is squaring Chiron slightly before Mercury, because first you take the step and you realize, like, I took the step. I actually did it. Now that you've taken the step, you might have the confidence to say that I'm doing this. I'm on this path. I've been afraid to say that I'm on this path, but I've actually taken a couple steps. I'm actually doing it. And so now you can talk about it, share about it.
And once you can face your fears internally, it's easier to do it in relationships. It's easier to do it externally.
Yes.
Once you've been able to do it within your own
psyche. Yes, exactly. And part of helping you do it through the psyche is actually just taking the steps yourself.
Right.
And so the fourth transit kind of brings this all together, because from Monday, January 22nd to next Monday, January 29th, this whole period, Mercury and Mars are within 2 degrees of each other, conjunct in Capricorn. So it's really helping you connect your mind to your actions, or your words to your actions, your thoughts to your words to your actions.
And connecting the dots.
Connecting the dots to achieve your goals. It's like, I can think it, I can do it, I can say it, I can say it, I can do it, I can think it. It just, it's like this loop. The more that I do it, the more that I believe it, the more that I believe it, the more that I can talk about it, the more that I talk about it, the more that I do it, the more that I do it, the more that I want to talk about it. You know, it's like, it's just building. It's really supporting us. I see this aspect in so many athletes or people that are, that have a way with words, is when Mars is in alignment with Mercury. So collectively, we're going to have an opportunity here to really put our words into action, to do the thing, to take the step, to say what you need to say, to hold yourself accountable through your actions. It should be an exciting time. This is an exact conjunction on Saturday, January 27th.
And to do it, even if there's fear.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, with the messenger of the gods and the god of war together, it just feels like a...
It's a party.
I was going to say it's a dynamic duo, you know? But it's a party, sure. Yes. Yeah. Yes. And so that leads us to our fifth transit of the week, is the full moon in Leo, which happens on Thursday, January 25th at 9:53 a.m. Pacific time. So think back. Think back to the new moon in Capricorn on Thursday, January 11th. But also think back to the new moon in Leo, which occurred on August 16th of last year, 2023. The new moon in Leo was about setting your intentions to open your heart, to express yourself boldly, creatively, from a place of fun and joy, exuberance, bold confidence. Then you go to the new moon in Capricorn, which is 2 weeks ago, setting your intentions to achieve your goals, plot your course, commit to doing the work needed to follow that course to achieve your goals. And the full moon in Leo is opening your heart, releasing, releasing any fears or burdens that are on your heart that are preventing you from climbing the mountain to your success. So remembering that the new moon is the inhale, the full moon is the exhale. The new moon is planting the seeds of the coming harvest. The full moon is showing and sharing the harvest. So when I think of the new moon in Leo back on August 16th of 2023, setting your intentions to open your heart, to follow your heart, to find your joy, your sense of laughter and fun, creativity. This is giving you the fuel as we get to 2 weeks ago in the new moon in Capricorn, where it's like, what is worth working on? Like, I love astrology. astrology is fun for me. It is my joy to talk about the planets and stars and look at what they're doing, think about what they're doing. So my work, my Capricorn energy, is tied into my heart, what brings me joy. So when you think about the new moon in Capricorn and now the full moon in Leo, what do you want to share? What do you want to share with the community? Remembering the sun is transiting through Aquarius, which is the community, the group, the club, the organization, the social network, the social cause. The moon is full because it's fully reflecting the light of the sun, which is in Capricorn. The moon is in Leo. So in thinking about everything that you've worked on, or that you're working on, or that you're working to achieve, what is it about that that brings you joy that you would like to share with others?
I love that connection between joy and work, or play and work.
Yes.
And I just want to like sit with that for a minute on a deeper level, because I think for most of us, certainly for me, that was not my association with work. It was something that was joyful or playful.
Or that you could enjoy.
Or that you could enjoy, or that you should enjoy, you know, could, should, would, you know. I don't think many of us have that neural pathway connecting those two concepts. And I think part of maybe the shift you're describing is generational, in a way that so many people now are wanting to align their work with joy. And in our parents' generation, that wasn't, like, it's like that consciousness didn't really exist for the most part. There were probably exceptions. So I think it's interesting to consider the power of that and really what that could mean on a larger scale.
Yes. Leo rules the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the heart is associated with what?
Joy.
Joy.
But also grief.
Well, I'm thinking of love.
Love. Yeah.
You draw that emoji of the heart. You when you put the emoji, the heart emoji on something, it means that you love it, right? And if you love what you do, if you love how you're spending your time, you never work a day in your life. What I do, meeting with clients, talking with you on the podcast, anything astrology related, it's not work. Because I love it. It is my work, but it doesn't feel like work. Like, where it's like, wake up in the morning, you're like, oh God, I got to meet with these clients, or I got to go to work, or I've got to, you know, I don't have those feelings. That's weird.
No, I'm just, the fact that you're having to frame it this way, I think just speaks to how we understand work in our culture.
Yeah. It's like something that you have to suffer through. And I feel like that's the essence of Saturn, is everyone's like, oh God, Saturn, not Saturn again. But when you find something that you love spending your time on and you make that thing your work, then it doesn't feel like work. It feels like joy. It feels like fun. And so I really love this connection here between the Capricorn energy that we've been talking about, the new moon in Capricorn a couple weeks ago, Mercury, Venus, Mars, all in Capricorn. But then we've got this Leo moon, which is connecting joy to work, love to work, the heart to work.
Well, it's interesting to consider that the Earth orbits around the sun. The sun rules Leo. So in that way, Leo and that sun energy are central for us. We are orienting towards the sun all the time from the Earth, from Earth's perspective. And in the body, that the heart is the center of your energetic system.
Yes.
Of your chakra system.
Yes. It's the first organ that is developed in utero. Not the brain, not the lungs, the liver, the spleen. It's the heart. No heart, no life. No sun, no life.
I think we get a little confused sometimes because the heart, like we get literal sometimes with our bodies and we think the mind is in charge because it's up top.
Because it's the thing that's behind our eyes.
Yeah, well, and we're very kind of obsessed in our Western culture about hierarchy and what's on the top is the best. Mm-hmm. And we get really, like, we can be really linear about things. And what I love about, if anyone's familiar with Kundalini yoga, many of the practices in Kundalini yoga actually involve inversion or just bending like your top half down so that the heart gets to be at the top. And if you ever see a Kundalini class, typically the teacher is sitting elevated a little bit. And the purpose of that is so that their heart energy is connecting to the head of all of the people in the audience or in the class.
Mm. Yes. The so frequency of their heart is going to the head.
Right. Instead of mind to mind, it's heart to mind.
I think it's also important to understand that you can think from your heart. It's like, how do I know that my heart is open? I know that my heart is open when I'm laughing, when I'm having fun, when I'm enjoying myself. So if you are laughing, if you're playing, if you're in that creative flow, you're thinking from your heart. I think it's also interesting too that I find in astrology that I notice with people that were born with the moon in Leo, where it is, like for this full moon, they tend to walk. Their posture is heart forward.
They have really good posture.
Really good posture. You can see them leading from their heart. It's not like they're trying to like push their chest out or anything, but they just have a sort of natural posture.
Yeah, they
where
do.
Their heart is forward. So I think of that Kundalini and, you know, it's about the heart. It's like a moon energy of the heart. Like people that were born with the moon in Leo, their heart is forward. So I'm really hoping that this full moon is going to help all of us stand with better posture.
Mm-hmm.
And so that our heart frequency is resonating out, open.
Yeah. And when we have poor posture, usually the head hangs in front of the heart.
It's like protecting.
And the shoulders actually collapse in a little bit. So the heart becomes sort of hidden, or like, you know, the chest makes that sort of a concave shape.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. That's so interesting about the posture. I've noticed that too.
Okay, I love that. I love that you're noticing that too. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, well, I have a father with a lot of Leo energy, so yes. I've seen that in just the way he moves through the world. He's got great posture.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, it's fascinating how this all shows
it does.
Up.
Yes. If you're curious to know how the next lunar cycle is affecting you, and you haven't already enrolled for the moon cycle classes, they are available at theweeklytransit.com. We will be discussing the new moon in Aquarius and the full moon in Virgo. In that class, we will discuss how those lunar transits are affecting you directly and how to work with the energy. So one of the transits happening concurrently with the full moon, the sixth transit of the week, is the sun in Aquarius. The sun's the giver of light, life, and vitality. Aquarius is the fixed air sign symbolized by the water bearer. This is forming a square, which again is another stressful aspect. We're talking a lot about these stressful aspects earlier in the week. Even the full moon, tension, they're opposing each other. There's opposition, there's tension there. So the sun in Aquarius is squaring Jupiter, the god of thunder, lord of justice, the planet of luck and expansion, in the fixed earth sign symbolized by the bull Taurus. So as the full moon is happening, it's also going to be squaring Jupiter in Taurus. Bringing this all together, you got the moon in Leo, you've got the sun in Aquarius, the sun is the planetary ruler of Leo, and then you have Jupiter in Taurus. They're all fixed. Jupiter is expanding our relationship to our self-worth, our values, our material well-being. The sun in Aquarius is bringing light, life, and vitality to our sense of independence, individuality within the group construct, the club, the organization, the social network, the social cause. So thinking about the tension, what's in your heart, and what's really the status of your self-worth, and how is that reflected within the community? You know, I think of Leo as the king, and Taurus, where Jupiter is like the king's accountant. It's like the king's like, I can do whatever I want, I'm the king. Give me more riches, more jewels for my crown, more food and wine for my guests in my home because the sun's in Aquarius and I'm inviting the community in here. And the king's accountant says, but king, we don't have the money for that party. It's like, what do you mean? I'm the king. Of course we have money. I have money grows on trees where I live. I'm in the castle. So, you know, as our heart is opening, we might have to look at our surroundings, our community, or the group that we're a part of, and really reflect. Is my self-worth being honored by the people that I surround myself with? Do I feel valued by the people that I surround myself with? Is it in accordance with what's in my heart?
Is that also, would you say, bringing some restriction?
Of course, that is the restriction. So this, by the way, is happening from Wednesday, January 24th to Sunday, January 28th, with an exact square happening right after the full moon on Friday the 26th. It is tension. It's like the tension it deals with, like, the heart is like the joy, the fun. It's like a child says, like, I remember when I was a child and okay, I was the last kid, myself and my friend were the last two kids in our class to find out about Santa Claus. I think I was in the fifth grade.
So sweet.
and we there was a you know, I'd get the JCPenney catalog every Christmas, and I'm like going through. I'm like, oh, this is what I'm gonna ask Santa. And so I told my mom I wanted to ask Santa for, like, it was like a robot. And this is like, you know, back in the 1980s. It's like this robot. I don't know what it does, but it costs a lot of money. And that is, and here's the interesting thing. My cousin, who's a Taurus, was also there. He's 4 years older than me. Hmm. He was at the house. And in my childlike, Leo is the energy of, it's, you know, in astrology, the fifth house is the house of children. Leo's the fifth sign. So Leo is the energy, is that childlike energy. And so my childlike energy was like, mom, I want this robot for Christmas. And my mom's like, I don't know, that's a lot of money. Well, Santa will get it for me. It's, you know, I've been good this year. And she's like, I don't know if Santa's going to be. He can do it. Like, his elves and everything, they'll make it for me. Aww. I've been good this year. And I'll never forget my mom. I was in the kitchen and my mom was like in between like cooking and doing laundry. And I'm in the laundry room and my cousin's nearby. And she's like, Scott, I have to tell you something. Santa's not real. And my cousin, who's a Taurus, that earth energy, was like, ha, 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 just laughing in my face. Aww. You know, because the reality was in stark contrast to what was in my heart. And so I had an audience like the community. And so who in your community is sort of pouring dirt on your fire of what's in your heart? You're expressing in your heart, this is what I want. I've been doing the Capricorn energy work that Scott's been talking about on the podcast, and I'm making it happen. And then you tell your family member or your friend, and they're like, well, how's that possible? You can't do that. That's not real.
Mm-hmm. So they're bringing the limitation.
Mm-hmm.
And then what do you do with that? You just have to sit with that limitation?
Well, when you think of Jupiter in Taurus, it's stretching our reality. It's expanding our reality. So yes, you sit with it for a moment and then you decide, do I believe that I can do more than what reality is telling me I can do? Sports Illustrated listed Secretariat, the horse, as like its greatest athlete of all time years ago, or it was in the top five or something. And one of the things that they said was like its heart was so big. The hearts of these racehorses are like 30 pounds. They're enormous. And so when you are working to achieve something, anybody who wants something, Aaron Rodgers, who is a fellow astrologer and future Hall of Fame quarterback. He's 6'2", 220 pounds. It's not like a formidable sort of size of what you would expect from an elite athlete. And he said when he was coming out of college that people kind of looked down on him because of his size. Not tall enough, not big enough, not going to make it in the NFL. We have doubts about you. He's like, you know what? The one thing that they didn't measure in me?
The heart.
My heart.
Hmm.
They didn't measure my heart. And so when people tell you you have limitations, that's up to you to decide whether or not you want to believe them. Because the heart has the power to help you expand. And Jupiter is there helping you expand your reality, your belief in your self-worth.
Hmm.
The seventh transit of the week, Uranus, the primordial sky god, the planet of revolution, rebellion, innovation, independence, and the unexpected, stations direct in Taurus. Uranus has been at this point of stagnation at 19 degrees in Taurus at 4 months at the same degree. So if you were born with a key astrological point or planet near to 19 degrees in earth signs, which are Capricorn, Taurus, and Virgo, water signs, which are Cancer, Scorpio, or Pisces, or fixed signs, which are Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius, and you might feel like you've been experiencing this faint electrical charge or shock or agitation. I think of Uranus as the lightning bolt planet. It's the one that shakes you up. And so it's finally stationing direct, but Uranus moved into its retrograde shadow on May 12th, 2023. Where it is today on January 26th is exactly where it was on May 12th.
Okay.
It began its retrograde on August 28th of last year. And it doesn't move out of its retrograde shadow until May 12th of this year, 2024. So the whole period of Uranus's retrograde shadow is May 12th, 2023 to May 12th, 2024.
That's a long shadow.
Yes.
Gosh.
Yes.
So what is that putting on pause for us? Like, how might that be showing up?
So just think about it in terms of the planet of revolution in the sign of material security. Uranus moved into Taurus in March of 2019. And since then, how many people have had their material security rattled in some way? How many people have moved? How many people do you know that have moved to a new city, a new state, a new country? A lot of that has occurred in the last few years.
Okay.
And so if you're somebody who is born with a key planet or point in earth, water, or fixed signs, really close to 19, but all the way to 23 degrees, because that's where the retrograde began, was at 23 degrees. Something's going on. You're going through a revolution of your self-worth, your values, and your material security.
So there could be more moving or shifting, readjusting.
Always, yes. It's going to continue until 2026 when Uranus moves out of Taurus. So we've got another couple years of this vibe that is really disrupting our sense of material security. It's hard to feel safe when the house is always shaking.
Right.
It's like, I gotta move.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta go where it's safe. Yeah. Stay safe. Isn't that a phrase of the time? Stay safe.
Yes.
Because it's hard to feel safe when Uranus is rattling the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So the 8th, 9th, and 10th transits, we're going to bundle those together.
Okay.
I'm going to bundle them up, Miss Gabriella. Because they all have to do with either Mercury or Mars in Capricorn. And as we established early on, Mercury and Mars are forming this conjunction in Capricorn. So they're also forming aspects to other key points or planets together. They're doing it together. Mercury in Capricorn and Mars in Capricorn are both squaring the North Node in Aries. So we talked in the first part of the show about them squaring Chiron in Aries, and now they've moved on to square the North Node in Aries, which is moving back towards Chiron. So the North Node is the karmic pathway of the soul or soul's purpose. These transits with Mercury and Mars aligning with the North Node are happening from with Mercury, it's from Monday to Monday, January 22nd to the 29th. For Mars, it's from Friday to Monday, January 26th to the 29th. So it's like it starts with the mind. As we were talking about earlier with Mercury aligning with Chiron, it's like facing your fears, the fears that are in your mind, your insecurities, that negative thought process that goes on up there. Now it's being directed in maybe a more positive way that is saying, who are you? Through everything you've been through this week, with all the Capricorn Aries alignments with Mars and Mercury and Chiron, and then the full moon in Leo, hopefully by the end of the week, you have a clearer identity of who you are. When you know who you are, then it's you have more courage to be authentic because you're not confused about who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so it starts with the mind early in the week, and then it continues and is amplified with Mars joining the party and giving that extra boost as the planetary ruler of Aries, where the North Node is.
It's always so interesting to look at how these transits are all complementary to one another.
Yes.
Or even if some are challenging, they're fueling, they're all fueling one another. They're all sort of co-creating with each other.
Yes, exactly. Supporting one another, complementing each other. That's why it's music. It's a symphony.
Mm-hmm.
The flute comes in and supports the violin, which is supported by the oboe and the all the instruments, whatever the instruments are. And then the third transit of those three, which there's kind of a fourth part to this, but we're going to save that for next week because that's when Mars starts hitting it. But Mercury is going to move ahead of Mars and start forming a trine with Uranus, which we just spoke about in Taurus. So Mercury in Capricorn forming a trine with Uranus in Taurus, which is also Monday to Monday. It's from January 22nd to the 29th with the exact trine happening the same day that Mercury squares the North Node in Aries, which is Saturday, January 27th. So Mercury is now out of its retrograde shadow. It's starting to cook. It's starting to move. It's like, boom, hitting this, squaring this planet, and then trining the other planet 2 degrees away in the same 24-hour period. That's what it's doing. So it's like things are starting to move quicker. You've been able to face those fears and insecurities, really recognize who you are. And now the trine with Uranus and Taurus is like, that's just me. I'm unique. I'm different. And I celebrate that. This is my self-worth. This is my values. This is what's important to me. Whether it's important to you or not or whatever, it's okay. Because I'm confident in who I am. By the end of the week, hopefully we're really finding our voice because Mercury's transiting through Capricorn, the sign of self-confidence, and it's forming that trine with Uranus, the planet of independence, in Taurus, the sign of self-worth, so that you have the ability to articulate who you are on an individual level, what makes you unique, and you're able to do it from a place of authority that truly values yourself.
Powerful.
Yes. And then the final transit this week is we're going to finish up where we began. We began with Venus in Capricorn.
How symbolic.
And we end the week with Venus in Capricorn, which is making its first aspect as it transits through Capricorn and forms a sextile with Saturn. Symbolic, the planetary ruler of Capricorn, transiting through Pisces, the sign where Venus is exalted. You have these two planets connecting to each other, and each of them are in signs that the other one is powerful in. So there's a lot of support and positive energy here. This transit is occurring from Thursday to Tuesday. This is January 26th to January 30th. So Saturn, the planetary ruler of Capricorn, in Pisces, the mutable water sign symbolized by the fish. It's like, now I have the ability to really sort of articulate my dreams, my fantasy, my vision for what I want from my relationship, for what I want from my partner. This is, let me show you an image of the mountain that we're climbing to the top of. Let me paint you a picture. This is what it looks like. This is what it smells like. This is what it sounds like. This is what it feels like. This is what it tastes like. Are you committed?
And hopefully after the chance to connect with your authentic nature, you know how to answer that question.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. I love that you say that because it just makes me think of Saturn in Pisces. It's like this transit, Saturn in Pisces, is about becoming the authority in your unconscious. How can you become the authority in your unconscious?
I would say, how can you become aware that you are the authority
of
your unconscious? It's not really...
I like that twist.
Well, it's not really a matter of needing to become. Maybe it's just about allowing.
It's recognition that you are.
That you are.
That you are.
That you are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, this is a lot this week. It feels like so many steps. I mean, I guess that's... maybe perfect because we're talking about Capricorn, but I'm like, this is, I'm tired hearing about all of the work.
Gabrielle is ready to take a nap after this
ready
podcast.
Ready to take a nap. But I can see how each of the steps is necessary to get us to the next step.
Yes.
And I'm just really aware of how many steps there are in this particular time period.
Yes.
So I would just say, if you need to take a break and take a nap, take a rest, you might need to.
Because
there's a lot of work, and it's important to make sure you're energized enough to do the work.
Yes. Everybody is moving at their own pace. I think it's important to also remember that.
Yeah, that's a good reminder.
Like several years ago, I climbed to the top of Half Dome with a bunch of my college buddies. And it's a 4,000 foot ascent. That's how much you're climbing from the valley floor of Yosemite to the top of Half Dome.
Wow.
And one of my friends who didn't even spend... I went up there the night before. We spent the night. We got up early in the morning, had some food to eat, and then began our climb. And then we spent the night after the climb because we were exhausted. It's 20 miles round trip. But a friend of ours drove in from Half Moon Bay, which is probably like 4 hours away. So he got in his car at like 2 a.m. and drove to Yosemite, got there at 6 when we started our hike.
Wow.
Ran up to the top of Half Dome and back in like 2.5 hours and got in his car and drove home.
I did not relate to that amount of energy.
That's somebody who's operating at a different pace than everyone else.
Yeah.
But for the rest of us, you know, when you go up that... it's amazing to be on the top of Half Dome. You're at the,
I'm sure,
the top, this dome, this iconic image that so everyone has seen. But if you're, and not to, you know, discount what my friend did, he's a different animal. You just have to know him to understand him. So it totally made sense that he did that. But for, I think, most people, it's awesome to be at the top of Half Dome, but there are so many amazing views along the way. You know, you go up through Vernal Falls and Nevada Falls, and it's these amazing waterfalls. Like, I don't want to rush past that.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. You want to spend some time there, sitting, enjoying, maybe grabbing a snack, eating a little something, drinking some water, replenishing yourself.
Or just enjoying the process.
Yes. That's a part of enjoying the process.
Yeah.
Is appreciating the beauty around you as you ascend towards your goals.
Well, it's that cliche. It's the journey, not the destination.
Yes, exactly.
But the Capricorn folks would probably say, no, it's the destination.
Well, but they're the ones that actually have to learn more about the journey. They have to learn to appreciate the journey, because otherwise they get so frustrated that they're... because once you get to what you think is the peak, and then you're like, oh my God, there's more? It's like all you could see from where you were was, it looks like that's the top. Mm-hmm. And then you get closer and closer to what you think is the top, and you realize that there's still a lot more. So that's a nice segue into letting you know, Gabriella, that we're just halfway through this week's transit. So we've got another 11 more. And so
it's not funny.
So with that, I leave you for this week, and we're very grateful for all of your support and encouragement and all that you're sharing with us on all the different platforms. And we just want to wish you all the best as you ride the planetary waves in the week ahead. Thank you for listening to the Weekly Transit. If you're curious to learn how these transits or any others may be affecting you, or if you're interested in learning more about your astrological code, contact me for a reading at theweeklytransit.com. If you're interested in delving into the world of psychotherapy with Gabriella, you can contact her at innervisionpsychotherapy.com. This episode was produced by me, Scott Tajarian. Music written by Ben Lineback from Listen Deep by Amber Herzog Lyman. Wishing you all the best as you ride the planetary waves.